Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host and facilitator, Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Yes, we're going to be here for the next 60 minutes. We're so glad. We're so glad that you all have taken time out to be with us on our broadcast tonight. We're glad to have you, and we're now doing the show in Georgia, the state of Georgia. We're back in Georgia to do the show. Whoopee. So all my special thanks to all those in the Carolinas, the homes we had an opportunity to visit with, and people that we got to see and so forth. So we thank you for that, and welcome to tonight's broadcast. Let's go ahead and start to welcome our various partners to tonight's show. Let's go ahead and start with the international minister himself, Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
All those that are on the call tonight, it's great to be a part of the outstanding, state-of-the-art, noteworthy Blog Talk Radio team. And I think the good Lord be your leadership in guiding us on how we can bring positive changes in the lives of others. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you.
Well, God bless you as well. Just letting welcome Sparkles to tonight's broadcast. Sparkles, it's a pleasure to have you on board with us. Thank you for joining us. Okay, excellent. Let's go ahead and welcome Mimi. Mimi, welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're glad to have you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to be here.
All right. Do we have Candlesticks joining us this evening? Okay, perhaps not. Let's take a look and see if we have Miss J. Miss J, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. It's good to have you, Miss J. Very good to hear from you as well. We haven't gotten into the system yet. That's why, and I didn't hear your voice, so I didn't know that you were there. Good. All right, let's go ahead and Ricky to the rescue. Are you there? All right, then perhaps they will be joining us momentarily. We're going to bring Miss Shea in just a moment to give us a disclaimer. And just before she does that, we're going to have Sparkles come in just a moment to give us any updates on the attendance thing that we do for the – and I don't want you all to look at it as school or anything like that. Please don't. It's just a little award thing that we're giving out. So please don't take it personally that we're taking attendance for school. It's just for – purposes. Are you all okay with that?
Sure.
Oh, good. Okay, great, great. Okay. Do we have...
There are 8 participants in the conference.
All right, good. Okay. Ben from the block, thank you for joining us. We're glad that you're here. All right, good. All right, so here we go. Let's see here. Ricky to the rescue, are you there? Okay, great. Let's go ahead and give us that disclaimer.
Show, we make this disclaimer. The
opinions that are expressed on tonight's show, on any of Dr. Jesse Walker's shows, or various shows, are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The show intent is not to push any denominations, religions, or traditions, but to share knowledge and experiences with no offensive or negative tone. We are here solely to address tonight's topic based on our own individual subjective opinion, and that opinion does not make the individual less than a believer. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and let's enjoy the program tonight.
Okay, great, Ms. Day. Thank you for that. Sparkles, do you have any updated announcements? You want to get clarity on everybody that's on tonight. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to thank everyone for the cool call. You're also more that you're on, the number of times that you're on, your name is in the pot for the drawing for the gift card. So the next gift card drawing will be tomorrow, everyone. Tomorrow night, all right? And we will do the drawing. And so I have a Tinder gift card. It's on, passed away. Me, name is Jay. Ricky to the rescue. Benny on the block. Have I missed anyone out? That's it.
Okay, excellent. We're so glad that you have that. Thank you so much for that, Sparks, that update. All right, so tonight's topic, you all know that sometimes it's difficult when you talk to people. Sometimes people just don't know how to talk to people. And I don't know why. Maybe all of us get caught up into that. Rick the Rescue, let me start by asking you the question tonight before we get heavy into the show. Have you ever found that sometimes people just don't know? I mean, there's always the same. It's not what you say, but how you say it. Why is that important? I mean, why can't I just tell people like I want to tell them with an attitude? I mean, is there any law that I got to be nice to people?
It's interesting because when you're talking to people, especially if you offend them within the first couple of words, they're going to tune out everything that you say after that. Most likely in all the cases. So it's a matter of when you're speaking, knowing your audience or knowing who you're speaking to, because if you offend someone, it can go south real quick.
Okay, so if you're my boss, Ricky to the Rescue, should you be able to talk to me any kind of way and I tolerate it because, you know, it's a private company, you own the company, and, you know, should you take stock in how you talk to me? Okay, so Richard Rachel, let me stay with you just for a second. So is it fair to say that sometimes, I mean, in today's time, you even a boss goes off on somebody, what's to prevent that employee from coming back and being going postal on them? I think you know what I mean by that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. So should you take stock in that as the boss reaching to rescue and thinking that, you know, this guy has messed up 17 times and I've given him a break. Now I'm about to call him in here and fire him. You know personally that I got 7 kids and they're small and I need this job. And I've been late those 17 times because one of my kids, something going on with them. So now you're going to bring me in the office, Rick the Rescue, and fire me knowing I need this job because I'm a mess up?
You're one of those situations where you have to be honest with Throughout that time, especially just been those many issues with this military 17.
Yes, sir.
You would hope someone was able to cope through those situations as well, because if it's been that many, then
Right. So for Rick to rescue, knowing that I have this bad temper, and you're the boss, they laid it on you because the higher uppers didn't want to deal with me. So they gave it to you. So now if you're firing me, Rick to rescue, don't you think there's a likelihood that I'm going to come back and go postal or something? I need this job. I've been telling you, I need this job. So are you afraid to fire me, Rick to rescue? Misty, I want to bring you in here. Same scenario. Misty, you're my friend, and you know I need this job. You know I'm on child support with other kids and these 7 kids, and then alimony payments and everything. Misty, you know what I'm going through, and it's like I'm just, like, frustrated. Misty, you going to fire me because I done messed up 17 times? The children card, right, by saying, you know I got these babies, okay, and I got some, you're my friend, so I can tell you I got baby mamas and baby mama drama. So, I mean, come on now. I can't get to work every day at 8 o'clock. I mean, at least get me to 8:45. I'm doing the best I can. That's a very good point. So how would you break it down to them? Because, you know, sometimes it's how do you lovingly tell someone when, you know I got my words, I'm always cursing somebody out. My actions and behavior is just horrible. So how do you lovingly tell someone, and I talk to my coworkers like they're less than human. So, Ms. Jay, how do you come to me and tell me in a loving way? Because I'm about to go off on you, too. And you're the boss, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard, but, you know, all I have to do is I'll pick the right time and the right place. I won't just throw it on you, but I know you just came in late and you know you're wrong. So right time and the right place. And I would ask you, do you think you're getting the job justice, Jack, for coming in late, you know, or are you able to perform and do what you need to do? I'm going to put it on him first. But he said, no, but I can't help it. I just got to come in late. Family said, well, you know, I understand what you're saying, but you know this is a job, so you have to meet those quotas. And if you don't be in to make it, those quotas, then they may have to let you go. So that's something you might need to work on. But if you need some help, you know, maybe we can work on something that you can do to make it better for you so you can do that. If not, you do realize what the consequences are, right? You know.
Yeah, but I'm saying you're my friend. You know, I've given you personal information. Now, if you're going to use this personal information against me, we're not going to be friends. if you're going to use that information against me, and I'm asking you, even though you're trying to work with me, Ms. J, you realize sometimes the very ones you're trying to help, it turns against you?
If you turn against me and you start talking out ignorant to me, okay, I'm trying, okay? Your hands are tied, so let the stick already fall.
And you're going to say it like that, Ms. J? That's not lovingly. Right. I agree with that. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and welcome Candlestick to tonight's broadcast. Candlestick, welcome. Oh, no problem. We're glad to have you. I think we have a new intro tonight all the way from New York by way of the Carolinas. I had an opportunity to meet this young lady on Saturday, and she was very impressed with what she saw with the team, and I asked her if she would like to become a part of our team. She has a lot to bring to the table all the way from New York. I forgot what part of New York, up in New York I think it is. But we'll give her an introduction right now. Let's go ahead and bring her in. Let's welcome Ms. Cassandra Green. Ms. Cassandra Green, a.k.a. she's going to be recognized as Sunshine. Ms. Cassandra Green, Sunshine, welcome to tonight's broadcast. You're live on the air.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for welcoming me.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, loud and clearly. We're going to give everyone an opportunity to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. We're going to begin with Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, we want to welcome Sunshine to the program tonight. All right.
Amen, amen. This is Sunshine. Great to have you on the show. And I tell you, it's a virus that's going around, and you're going to love this show and the responses that you get, and you'll be so encouraged and by others that they can get the same response. So you're looking, it's going to be a bright sunshine.
All right, let's go ahead over to Ms. J. Ms. J, let's welcome Sunshine to the night's broadcast.
Hello, Sunshine. And I can give you a little sunshine with you. Welcome. You know, looking forward to
your commentary
and
welcome
to the show.
All right, and let's go with Sparkles. Sparkles, let's welcome Sunshine. Excellent. And before we're going to go to Ricky the Rescue, but just before I'm going to prepare Mimi. Mimi, I want you to sing a little song, the welcome, Sunshine, using the word sunshine. Just make up something for us. I've heard Mimi has a good voice. So when I call you after Ricky the Rescue, after we're going to go to Ricky the Rescue, we'll call you last to welcome her. All right, let's go to Ricky the Rescue. All right, Benny from Block. Benny from Block, welcome, Sunshine. Benny from Block. All right, perhaps he'll be back with us. Let's go.
We want you to sign on the group and sign with your comments and your commentary. We look forward to it. So just sign on us and let us grow.
All right, Candlesticks, let's welcome Sunshine to our team. Excellent, excellent. Just before Mimi come on, did I miss anyone else of our co-hosts that's here tonight? All right. If not, then Mimi, welcome Sunshine in your own way. Sunshine, we'll give you an opportunity to respond to the team.
I just want to say thank you, everyone, for welcoming me. You know, it's a pleasure
All right, excellent. Now we're going to go to the story quickly here. They're threatening me over here to get to the story as quick as possible. Tonight's topic is, it's not, can common sense be common? So I don't know where that one came in. Let's see here. Wait, that's not the show for tonight. Tonight's topic is, how do you lovingly tell someone when their words or actions are offensive to you or others? How do you lovingly tell someone when their words or actions are offensive to you or others? Rick the Rescue, let me bring you in. Can you actually stand in the place of someone else and, stand in the place of someone else and actually say, well, hey, don't talk to her like this. Don't talk to that person like that. Can you do that, Rick the Rescue, even if it's a stranger? Okay, that is very important. Tonight's characters are Derek. There's three of them. Excuse me. We have Francis, Etna, and Derek. We have the three of them, Derek, Etna, and Francis. Now, Etna is, she's Francis. Let me see here. Derek, Etna, and Francis. Francis is Etna's mentally challenged client. That's who Etna is. Etna is Francis, Etna's mentally challenged client. Yeah, that's Etna's client, Francis is. Now, Derek and Etna are siblings. They're siblings who work together at a mental health facility. Derek is 43 years old, and Etna is 41 years old. They have both been working in the mental health arena for over 20 years. Now, Francis is a 57-year-old, is one of the mental health clients who Etna has been assigned for the past 2 years and treats her with little to no respect, knowing of her condition. Now, Frances is a very calm person who suffers from paranoid schizophrenia. Outside of her mental condition, Frances appears to function quite well as long as she is occasionally supervised at the facility. Over the years of doing this type of work, for some reason, it has gotten to the point where Etna gets easily frustrated and seems to always take it out on her client, Frances. Etna constantly does it even when other people are visiting their relatives in the facility, who also take stock to notice her behavior towards Francis and do not like it and have complained to the management at the facility. Now, despite Francis' numerous attempts to be cordial towards Etna in hopes that she would try to like her, Etna still treats her bad and never makes any apology for doing so. Derek is well aware of this behavior and has been reluctant to say anything for fear that Etna, his sister, will turn on him, causing an argument between the siblings. Now, recently, one of the guests visiting their own relative in the facility approached Derek and encouraged him to say something to his sister. Otherwise, the guest was going to approach Etna herself and file a complaint to the Board of Mental Health. Derek clearly understood what the guest was saying, but wrestles with the thought of how to lovingly tell someone their words or actions are offensive to you or someone else. In other words, Derek does not have a clue on what approach to take to avoid hurting his sister Etna's feelings. So the question is, Michelle, I want to go to you right now. Ask, why hasn't Derek said anything to his sister about her attitude towards Frances, a mentally challenged person? Why?
Like she would turn on him for real. I don't care whether he was 11 years old or not.
Okay, all right. We're going to ask you, Ricky the Rescue, this is a very sensitive issue because a mentally challenged person, I mean, this person suffered from paranoia, schizophrenia, and here it is. I mean, she, Francis is calm, but Edna is just, I mean, just totally rude to her, and her brother won't even say anything. If that were your facility, Ricky the Rescue, and you're over, and one of the other clients who was visiting a relative, like the guest in this case, filed a complaint, I mean, would you jump to conclusions, or how would you handle a situation like that? Let me bring you in here. Mimi, I mean, mentally challenged individuals in and of themselves are already going through something. They don't have an awareness of what's going on around them, and that's why they've been diagnosed with certain conditions. You think it's fair for people who call themselves to fit into a normalcy bracket, whatever that means, to talk to someone any kind of way, Even if it's their own loved one? What do you think about that?
They should respect the other person and speak to them the way they would like to be spoken to, not in a harsh or demeaning way. He's wrong, and he needs to be addressed. And if he can't, you know, clean up her actions, he needs to leave that job. They need to let her go.
But do you think her brother's going to squeal on her, snitch on her? Do you really think that that's likely to happen? And it's not their relative. All right, Sparkles, let me bring you in here, Sparkles, and ask the question. Sparkles, even though Francis is not her relative, should it matter? Should it really matter?
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have anything to do with it. That's just downright disrespectful. And she should be terminated, actually.
But if nobody's afraid, see, people sometimes that have these cantankerous type of attitudes or spirits, people don't want to rock the boat and be a snitch, you know, to say anything. Because for fear of some type of repercussion, that the person may go off on them because they may have some type of relations, you know, cordial relations. Well, she don't talk to me like that, but you'll go home and talk to your family about that individual of what they're doing. So, Sparkles, how do you, I mean, can you, isn't that being two-faced? You won't say anything to the person, but you'll go to your house and tell your husband. You'll tell your other girlfriend that's horrible what Edna's doing to her. But you won't, you see Edna the next morning, oh, good morning, how are you? How was your day? You know, smiling in her face, but laughing behind, talking behind her back. Isn't that what that song says about backstabbers?
Yeah, it is. And, I see why a lot of people call Christians and stuff like that. People, you know, doing one thing and doing just the opposite of what you should be doing.
All right, we're going to ask. Go ahead.
You can't be a coward. You got to step up and speak the truth and tell the truth no matter how things fall out.
Okay, so Candace, let me bring you in here.
He's scared. He's scared, obviously. So he's scared to check his sister. I'm thinking, okay, so why doesn't Derek go to the boss and say, can I talk? I have a concern here. I have noticed Edna behaving rudely, disrespectful to our clients, you know, and stuff like that, and talk to the boss about it.
All right, we're going to actually stand by, Sparkle. All right, we're going to expand by Candlestick. I want to bring you in here. Candlestick, this is not your relative, but you're visiting a facility, and you are visiting another relative in the facility, and you hear how this lady talks. Now, so, Candlestick, I want to bring you in here and ask you the question. You hear this, and you know it's rude, and some of your same family members who are with you say, I can't believe she's talking to her like that. Candlesticks, should you mind your own business, or should you get up and go say something because you don't like what's been saying? Risking, now before I finish that, risking the chance that this lady may, you don't know how she's going to snap on you, that she could slap the heck out of you. Candlesticks, what do? Mind your own business. Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't have cameras in all the facilities, but go ahead. I'm Edna, and I'm saying to my to Francis, hurry up and eat this food, girl. Listen, I'm tired of this here. No, you're not getting this. Okay, now leave me alone. Don't ask me no more about that. Okay, so now you heard me talk to her like that, right? And I went on for a while. Now, what do you do, Candlesticks? Now you're going to come up to me knowing I got attitude already? Because you don't know what's going on in my life.
You know, I have to listen to all the comments.
You don't know me. What are you saying? Are you threatening me?
No, I'm not threatening you, but I'm letting you know that I'm going to seek higher authority because of what you're doing.
Okay, so now Ms. Edna goes up in your face. Listen, if I were you, I'd just mind my own da-da-da-da-da business, okay? You so-and-so-and-so, and then I'm gone.
I would say, Ms. Edna, please don't step up to my face like that.
She done gave you the hand and left. Hold on a second, Miss Candlestick. Miss G, I want to go to you. Miss J, the same scenario. I'm over here. You trying to approach me on Miss Edna now, Miss Edna. Miss J, how are you going to talk to me, Miss J? Are you going to approach me, first of all, knowing you can look at me over there, how I came off on that person, Miss Francis? You can look and you want to deal with that, Miss J, for real?
Now, I got a family member in there. I'm down listening to you talking to that woman like that.
Right.
I'm down there too. So, you know, I'm going to tell you,
Okay.
Excuse me, ma'am. You don't work here, do you? Do you work here? Miss, do you work here? That's all I ask you. If you work here, yes or no? That's all I ask you. Miss, you need to mind your own business, okay? We got work to do here. You don't know what we go through at this job, so you need to mind your own business. Because you know, if I'm talking to her like that, I'm going to be talking to your relatives the same way. I'm going to find out who your relative is and we'll be talking that same way when you are not there.
I'm upset. Even if the person did
urinate on her the day before, or she chose that job. She chose that job to stay there. She's been doing it for 20 years. You know, don't nobody want you treating your relatives bad. Sunshine, let's bring you in here for your first comments on tonight's topic. Sunshine, what do you do? Do you stand in defense of someone, or do you sit around and let this behavior go on week after week, day after day? What do you say, even if it may cause you to lose friendship with someone?
I'm kind of confused as to who's who, but as far as the young lady that worked there, I don't think I'm going to say anything to her. I'm just going to go to management and let them know what I observed, and maybe they need to observe it themselves. And like when the one when she asked her, "Well, do you work here?" I probably would have told, "Well, maybe you shouldn't work here."
See, those words right there. Now, if I'm Miss Etna, now I got to go off on you. Okay, excuse me, ma'am. What did you say? And then I start calling you all kind of names. So you're not going to address me? You're not bad enough to say things in my face, come back and say it in my face?
I'll have to say nothing to you because I don't pay your salary. I don't do any of those things. I'm just your visitor. Oh. I'm just the people who pay your salary to take care of you.
Okay. All right. So you won't meet me in the parking lot, then, huh? Okay. I didn't think so.
I'll meet you nowhere.
Miss J, you going to meet me in the parking lot, Miss J?
You know, I don't do battle with an unarmed person. That means I don't deal with nobody that ain't got good sense. I say what I need to say, and I'm gone because I'm not going to do no good battle.
Okay, Candlestick, you going to meet me in the parking lot? You got a lot of mouth on you.
You know, I will not, but you know what? I love what Sunshine said. I love that New York accent as well, Sunshine. But, I would just go, you know, considering all that we've heard and the way that, you know, Edna is can be very combative person, I would just go watch Strength and Mass as well. I think that's a great idea. And considering, you know, what Ricky Silvestri said, yeah, just go straight. And you don't even have to really, you know, deal with it. And let them know and allow them to observe the situation. Because I've kind of been in a situation like that before. I used to work at a nursing home.
Okay.
And there was this older lady, she was like in her 80s, and she had that slave mentality. And unfortunately, or I don't know how you want to say it, a lot of the aides are normally African-American aides. And this one guy was taking care of this lady. And this lady used to always talk about, you know, slavery, you know, that he's a slave and things like that. So this man took this woman, he used to always give her cold showers. And would hear her scream and everything, but she didn't care. And so I actually reported it. And so soon after that, I didn't get any repercussions by it, but soon after that, I actually quit because I just could not be in a facility where I saw people getting mistreated and be a part of that. So, things like that do happen. They do.
Wow.
I've been a witness to it.
Wow. That is so interesting, you all, because I mean, Ricky's a rescue. Do we really know what normalcy is? I mean, can I say I'm normal? I'm not like that. I'm normal. Is there such a thing as really normalcy? And I'm sure you're familiar with the DSM-5 book, or Diagnostical Statistic and Manual, the fifth edition. You know, is there anything such as normalcy? When I looked through this book, I had to study intern under the DSM-4, and now the DSM-5 is out. But when I look at these categories of diagnosis, I don't think there's a human being of age and that's normal. Now, I'm still looking for the definition of normal. Richard Rescue, perhaps as a therapist, you can tell me what it means.
Yeah, I don't even think that there's a group of people who can agree on something like that. Because if we look at it from the actual diagnostic criteria, everyone's going to have a test.
Right.
That's typically how it is. I did want to say this too. I think it's important to know anyone who's working in facilities like that, you truly don't know what they've been through because I'm kind of just thinking that because I could just think of several people off the top of my head who've worked in facilities like that who've had major injuries, meaning like either they spent the rest of their life being blind, either they lost a limb, you know,
it's like major incident that happens and occurs in those places. And so if you're talking about, you know, you're going to go up there and approach any of those people, you know, it's the same trauma that those people who are in that facility is probably experienced at some point. It's really terrible in some situations.
All right, and it certainly is. Going to ask you to stand by. We're going to start taking some of the comments in because we're almost out of time. Anyone want to volunteer and close us out tonight? Anyone? As you all are thinking about it, we'll come back and just let us know that you will. All right, we're going to take the first comment. This male, he writes in, growing up at home with my father was very uncomfortable. My father was a very negative and offensive man who never told anyone of his kids that he loved us. I ended up telling him how offensive he was to me, my siblings, to me and my siblings when I became an adult. He did not take it well, but he should have thought how we felt. So I put it back to him to tell him how miserable he made our lives. Was that disrespecting his father to tell him when he became an adult, he tell him how his father was treated them in abusive ways? Was he wrong?
No. You know, if he looked at it the way he did, the way the father did when they were young, that would have been disrespectful. But just to sit down adult to adult, he can express his feelings, because we all have feelings. And sometimes, maybe his father was aware, however, it was just like a family truth. You know, that's how his dad talked to him, so therefore, he talked to his kids like that. It doesn't make it right, but it happens.
All right, so...
As an adult.
All right, Missy, I want to bring you in here. Missy, so if you're 9 and your father's talking to you like that, he said his father, it made him very uncomfortable. So you can't say anything to your dad when you're 9? Otherwise, for fear that you're going to get slapped upside the head?
I guess I've always been a little outspoken person.
Missy, you got slapped. Wow, Michelle, you were outspoken. I would be so afraid. We're going to ask
you. Because, I don't know, sometimes you're so hurt that you just want to know why you feel so bad and just touch yourself. And I guess I would want to know because I want to please my parents. But we know I'm just saying.
Right.
Like he did apology, he would talk to my other siblings, but he never
Yeah, I just wanted my dad to tell him how we saw him as children being raised up and that he did us wrong.
Wow. Do you feel you did the right thing? I'm sorry you went through that. Do you feel you did the right thing by confronting him?
Yes, because I didn't want to continue smiling and laughing in my dad's face, knowing that we siblings on the side have a conversation about him, because I'm not that type of person.
I understand.
If I have a disagreement and we call ourselves friends or mother and daughter or father, whatever, I just don't have peace in my spirit. If I know I'm harboring something against you or whatever, I can't be that disciplined of a person to continue to laugh, especially when I claim to be a Christian. I can't walk that walk and harbor resentment in my heart towards someone. So I had to talk to my dad.
Wow.
I had to.
We're sorry that you went through that, certainly. I wanted you to stand by just for a second. Richard Rescue, Shira, who wants to close out tonight? Anybody? Can we go to 8:10 or 8:15, you all, or you all want to close up at 8:05? Those that can stay.
I'll stay.
Okay, 8:10, 8:15. Okay. Richard Rescue, who wants to close out? Richard Rescue, you want to close out? Ms. J, Candlestick? I know it's a deep subject. Okay, good. All right. We'll come to you about 8:12. All right. Give you time to collect your thoughts. Did you want to say anything before we give you time to collect your thoughts?
No, but I do think, man, I know kids are afraid to talk to their fathers or whatever, but I think, you know, parents should let their kids be mature enough to have a conversation with them. And if you could ask why, I'll get a better understanding. That's a positive thing. So I hate for kids to feel that they can't come out and ask their parents why or, you know, different things.
Yeah, so, and you know, Missy, it's important that you say that because it depends on the child. Because I was afraid. Whenever my dad was there, I was scared of him. I felt protected that he was at home protecting, you know, like I thought that's what a father does is protect his family. But I was afraid to say anything because I didn't like him because he was abusive, very, very, very abusive to my mom. And I wished that he wasn't there. I had wished that my father was dead. And I was a little boy. I didn't know any better. But that's how, and I'm going to tell you something, Ms. Jay. I felt that in my heart. I mean, you know, you probably, I don't know if anybody's ever witnessed their mother getting slapped by him. And then you're a little boy and you're trying to stand up against this man. And then he takes a 2x4 and threatens to kill you with that. And then my sister and I are standing up against him. And he grabs a hatchet. You remember, you know those hatchets? And we had to run for our lives. He threw it at us. And that thing could have chopped either one of us. But we were willing to die if it meant that to protect our mom. So, Miss J, I was afraid of my dad. And I hated him. And I know that's a strong word. But as a little boy, that's how I felt. And I felt that way even as an adult. Because this same man told me to commit suicide. And so it took me years at the encouragement of my own family members to tell me that I should forgive him. So it took years, and I was the one to preach his funeral with another brother of mine. And so it does, we don't know sometimes what these children are going through to fear their parents because their parents are not getting it right. And, you know, and the parent, he wouldn't even say, I love you. So, Candlestick, I can certainly relate to that. Let's go on here. Let's take another one of these comments. I mean, we're talking about how do you lovingly tell someone. I mean, that's got to be the hardest thing. Anybody else got anything they want to share with how their parent may have treated them to make their life miserable growing up? Well, you all had a good life then. Candlestick, I guess it was just, wow, you all don't know the blessings you have. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I can remember when we lived in the house, we used to put masking tape on the walls in the wintertime to keep the air out.
Yeah.
Well, my dad was gallivanting around the world because he was in the military. He was a military man, and he was an officer. Put my mom in a shack house, and she had four children to take care of.
Right.
don't really understand it.
Nope.
But nope. As, you know, we got older, we were piecing things together and started, you know, this and that or whatever. And it's like, I'll be darned. And then when my mom passed away, there was a lot of documentation that she had kept over the years that we were privy to see as we were going through her things and cleaning the house or whatever. And it really, really put a damper on my dad. And my youngest brother used to idolize my dad.
Right.
Now he has no conversation for him.
Yeah. I understand.
You know, because he tried to be such a big man and tell, you know, try to be the boy, be respectful of women and whatever. And he himself was a womanizer.
Yeah, mine too.
Really, really disappointed my brother's image of myself, my dad.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And, you know, thank God we made it through. And but all my siblings, it's like right now in my life, all my life, even to this day, I can't stand to see a man fuss at a woman, not to raise his voice at her at all. It just, it does something to me. And I will stand there and watch that man and make sure he doesn't touch her. And I just pray to God that, you know, I kind of stay in my lane, like Ricky to the Rescue is encouraging us tonight that, you know, because that can be a dangerous thing, and I'm aware of that. It's just that I cannot stand to see any man talk to a woman with his voice elevated, and I can't stand to, if he puts his hands on her, I don't even know how I will react because it takes me back to my mother. So, you know, we all have some deep, dark things in us, and my prayer is that God, please, you know, protect the women and the children out there and the men who are doing the right thing. Let me go on because we're almost out of time here. Let me, anyone want to contribute before I go on to the next comment? All right, not. Let me move on. Mimi, let me bring you in here to this next comment. This female writes in, she says, I've been dating this guy for the past 3 months and I am ready to call it quits. I find that he does not know how to talk to me or anyone else for that matter. Not only are his words offensive, but his actions or conduct is even worse. For example, whenever I'm trying to express my feelings about something that went wrong in the relationship, he turns it all around and makes it about himself and does it in a very offensive way, as though it's always about him. Mimi, why do people do that? You know, you're trying to tell them you're hurting your feelings, but they then become the victim.
Because you're selfish and it's all about him. Did she stay here 3 months? That was too long. I'm quite sure he showed how he was toward her waiting for 3 months because a person like that, in my opinion, they may be nice for a minute, but eventually the true self will come out. You just got to put them in their place, and if you have no keep it moving.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Spark, we're going to bring you here for this comment. This male writes in, he says, in my opinion, I think the best way to handle that type of situation is give it considerable thought and put yourself in the other person's place, then present your piece to them. But try to do it in love and hope for the best because you don't know the person that you're about to approach that they could turn around and stab or hurt you in some other way. What are your thoughts on that?
That is true. That's been reiterated and all. But you don't know what's going through another person's mind. And all that stuff, but I think you have to gingerly, take into consideration, and the timing needs to be right, and your wording and everything like that and all that stuff.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Rick the Rescue, I'm going to bring you in here for this one here. This male writes in, he says, I have a younger sister in her 60s who just does not know how to talk to anyone in a loving manner. When she's at church, she is really very nice. But when you get behind closed doors, the true person comes out, and she is really mean and has always been mean since our early childhood. I know it will hurt her feelings. I know it will hurt her feelings. Excuse me. But I will have to tell her that if her approach is not in a loving manner, I mean, is there any other way to do it? Her approach is not in a loving manner. I don't know how to approach her, but I need to tell her. Bring the rest of your thoughts on that.
Yes, hopefully you can always have some open people, but, you know, that's not the case all the time. And I do want to say this because, there was a powerful self-disclosure given, you know, this evening that people with you, Dr. Walker, like, that takes a lot for you to be able to share those type of things and to even put
What I did want to say is this. You know, quite often we may be thinking a person is being mean, but maybe they're still caught in their trouble. And so with you as an example, Dr. Walker, if you're brave enough to speak about it and you have faced some strides to overcome it, maybe you could talk about it and maybe things are not always about you. However, for someone who's still stuck in that place or that sunken place or that place of trauma, a lot of things that we can do could just simply be a trauma response. It could be a touch. It could be a smell. It could be a sound. It could be someone raising their voice. It could be anything. And we often look at that person like they're being mean. No, they may not be being mean. They may have just not ever recovered.
You know, Rick and Rescue, that is brilliant what you're saying. And I mean, I'm so glad to have this team that we have because it just came back to me now with you saying this here. There was a trigger. It was my mother who, they divorced after 22 years married, but it was my mother and siblings because they knew what my father had done because he said it before my older sister, who was a second mom to us. And my mom, who said, son, you don't know what your father's been through. She says, I know he was abusive to me. He tried to apologize several times back and forth, and he was still abusive. And she said, but you got to find in your heart to forgive him. And it took me over 10 years. It really did. It took me over 10 years, that pain that I encountered. But she said, you got to forgive him. She said, because he was a military man, and we don't know the extent. And he was also involved in other bad lifestyles out there with gangs and stuff. And so he had a lot of darkness out there. He didn't grow up with a father. His grandparents raised him. So she tried to explain to me, I couldn't understand as a child. Okay, you're abused to my mom. I don't care what your life was like. You know how mamas, you know, you hurt somebody over your mama. Every one of us would. And so, you know, it didn't matter to me what he was going through. You're talking about my mom. So, I mean, Rick and Rescue, help me understand. Am I supposed to understand that later? I mean, is all forgiven because he had his issues when you were coming at my mom? Help me understand that, Rick and Rescue. Or any of us.
Right. It takes a level of self-awareness to be able to recognize those things. And you have to grow to a point where you're able to even recognize that. I think we often look at things from a point of view in the position in which we sit in, especially when we're saying things like, well, that person should have get that over it because you can get over it. But guess what? There's some things that you can't get over as well.
Right. Because I wanted to understand maybe why are there other people that were acting like my father. So something, I want to think something good came out of it that I didn't understand that actually became a coping mechanism, Ricky, to rescue, if I may use your words, a coping mechanism for me to this day. So part of this radio mission is helping as many people as I can, wherever I can, to see what they're going through and have a team like the team we have and bringing on others that bring some experience to the table as well to help somebody else out there. So that's brilliant. We got to take two more comments, and MSJ is going to close us out. I'm going to ask you to stand by. Rick Rescue, did you want to say anything else before I take the next comment? Well, you know, and I appreciate Candlesticks as well for sharing with us what she shared, because, you know, I know people are often thinking that, you know, sometimes we live in this glass house or this superficial world, but my world is real. You know, that's why I'm so passionate about this radio show, as Pastor Roll always thought, because, you know, having each one of you all on, whenever you're available and there's never no pressure, it's like, I got this. We're a team here. All of us are contributing. Ricky Rescue, you actually kept me from losing it tonight with tears, because I could still feel the pain. But with you saying that, you know, you never know what that person is going through. And my mom, you triggered it, because my mom said, son, he went through a lot in the military. You know, he didn't have the parents, you know, and nobody ever told him that he loved him. But I felt that didn't make it right. So once again, here you are sharing with me, Rick the Rescue, to say, you know, I need to fully let that thing go. And I don't know if I've ever let it go. And maybe some of what I'm doing out there unaware, and it makes me want to just take stock to make certain that I talk to everybody properly. So thank you, Rick the Rescue, for that. And thank the rest of you all as well for sharing what you all did, because I'm telling you, I was just about to just bawl over and cry and let you all take over the show, but it's like God always sends somebody at the right time, right time. Rick, the rest of you were here, I would give you a big, big hug. So thank you, and the rest of you all as well. And Candlesticks, you too, especially because of what you've been through. Let's take this up. Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead.
And I
just want to let people also know that I have forgiven my dad, and my mother is on her first stage. And I remember when I first moved into the first house I've ever owned, I had Thanksgiving at my house with my parents and my siblings and whatnot. And I wrote this letter to my parents. Like, I'm always a more person than my family. You know, and I thank them for the life that I have. I thank them for the challenges that I went through. I said, because I know no parent has a book on how to train children, you know, and I didn't want them to feel guilty or responsible for the life that I had, because I was always the sibling. I was the black sheep. I was the one out there smoking at 13, doing drugs, and just really out there. And I didn't want them to feel like they were responsible for the life that I chose to live. And, you know, and only God gave me that peace and that release to my family. You know, and I think whenever we can forgive someone for hurting us and take responsibility of our own choices in life, then you know you've been delivered and you know you've been set free. So I know that my dad called him and this nothing has ever happened. But he knows how it hurt me as a child growing up. And we have a great relationship to your family. My dad is 88 and he's doing well. And I just thank God for our relationship.
Wow, that's
forgiveness can be forgiven if you have the mind of Christ to do it.
Wow, that is beautiful, Candlestick. That is beautiful. And it's like, you know, it's hard, you know, I just want to say this here, because my mother, as sweet as she was, as loving as she was killed in a car accident. And, I mean, it was just, like, horrible. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about it, because she was my best friend. And the thing about it is, my dad, they were divorced already. But the thing is, I say, God, how is that good people things happen to them? When my mother was killed, and my dad lived way in his 80s. And, you know, he married again to this lady, Miss May. I'll never forget. And Miss May told us, the children, she said, I've heard about, you know, I knew your dad in the neighborhood, and I knew what he did to your mom. But she said, I'm telling you children right now, if your dad ever puts his hands on me, I'm going to kill him. She said, I'm telling you, my dad never touched that woman. He never put his We never heard a story because she meant business. And so that just made me feel even, I mean, I was hoping that he wouldn't touch her. I mean, this was my stepmom, but it just made me feel my mother took abuse because she needed the money from him, and she would get beat just because she needed the gift. Money. So, Michelle, go ahead and close it out, please.
Yes, I will. Start off by saying the best way to react to someone offending you. I saw this quote, and it is perfect for the night. It says, weak people revenge, strong people forgive, and intelligent people ignore the people offend you and do things to you. Candlestick, Dr. Walker, strong people forgive. That's what you are. I just want to say that. And I'm going to ask everybody which one of you, but I know Candlestick and Dr. Walker from your story, you are one of those strong people and intelligent people too. But either way, if you're offended, you know, you talk about trying to remain calm, you know, not necessarily trying to act like the person at that time or whatever, but sometimes you do need to get away from the situation and calm yourself down. But the key to me is you need to let the person know at some point, you know, that you were offended. You don't want to carry that on your shoulder forever, feeling the way you do about a person. And I said lovingly, you say, put it in your on you. I was offended. I feel this way, not you offended me. You made me do this. Don't throw it back on person. It's not a loving way. I don't see you do it. But always be specific in your words of what you want to tell them, but in a kind and loving way. Then you listen and you watch the reaction of that person. You know, sometimes they might realize that they offended you. And then you may get an apology from them, or you may not get one, whatever the case might be. But it could go another direction depending on that person, like Ella did in our story tonight, you know. But I feel from the reaction you get from them, you'll know what step you need to take from that. And I don't believe that most people really try to offend you on purpose. Most people are unaware, and you should be loving enough when you speak back at them to let them know that, you know, you need to determine whether they did it on purpose or whether they just didn't. And if a person did do it on purpose, you know, I feel that they have a reason why they did it. That was their goal, to try to offend you and to tear you down. So all I can say on that is don't react to your offense. You know, take your time, think about it and everything. And that person eventually would start feeling like the villain or a bully if you don't, you know, just attack it right then. And I end with this quote. I saw it. If you insult me and I do not get offended, then the insult falls back on you. Got that? If you insult me and it don't offend me, everything falls back on you. And that's the way I'm going.
That's a very good point, Ms. Day. Thank you for closing us out in a timely manner. Thank all of you all for your commentary tonight. We once again welcome Sunshine to our programming. We certainly look forward to your continued comments on our show. Please join us here tomorrow night when the topic is going to be, without passing judgment, how do you tell someone their offensive words or actions do not appear Christ-like? Without passing judgment, how do we tell someone in a loving way that their offensive words or actions are not Christ-like? That's tomorrow night's topic. If you use the bypass tomorrow night's topic, we'll be back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Until tomorrow night or until sometime next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.